T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
New York's fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, and Sports Radio 66, WFAN, New York.
Okay, as advertised, Jim Duquette and James on this wet and rainy Thursday evening. You know, we appreciate very much you giving us a couple of minutes of your time and hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, Smooth. Thanks for having me on. Nice to talk to you again, as always.
Oh, for sure. And we enjoy with, of course, with the watching. You come across with the Gary Apple. With you're a straight shooter when it's good. It's fun to be talking about what is good with the Metropolitans. And when it's not so good, you certainly get into that as well. And here is some breaking news, Jim, that Edwin Diaz is not available tonight. I can't believe it.
It's the first night, I think, in the last 10 days that he's not available.
Yeah.
He's been available every single day.
Yes.
I can't believe how much they've, well, I mean, they've had to use him, but, you know, he's been used a lot. He, as you've seen, his stuff last night was not very sharp, wasn't very good. That's why he... That's why I believe he coughed it up. I don't think there's anything other than the fact that he was a tired arm, and you saw it. You know, even if you watched the highlights, if you weren't watching it live like I was, I mean, the slider was hanging, and that's what happens with him and other pitchers when they've been used an awful lot. And I think that was the main problem last night. Wasn't anything else. He hasn't lost anything on his stuff. It was just overuse.
Jim, I think I'm the only one among everyone who's had a comment about the last night's ninth inning. I would have pulled him, and I know maybe I'm the only one. I know I've heard from other voices on both sides of the microphone on WFAN today,
right,
all day long, where they would have stayed with him forevermore until the 12th and never. I, after the second home run, at least would have had somebody warming up, would have pulled him. He just didn't have it, as we all saw. And it was painful to watch. I would have pulled him maybe after the second home run. But if not, I certainly, listen, and I understand that Gazelman had been used and there's no Lugo. We had gone through the best of what there was with the bullpen. I would have brought in Zamora to face Verdugo. Just to make a change. I mean, obviously, Diaz did not have it. So let me ask you, and we all respect what you have to say for sure, would you have made a move on Diaz last night, or would you have kept him in there as Callaway did?
It would have been hard to end up doing that. I understand what you're saying. If they had a full and healthy bullpen, you know, let's say on a normal night, now that we've seen this, and we kind of know, we don't have, or didn't until last night, have our thought process was, all right, what is a struggling Diaz look like? That was it. You could kind of tell, but you still weren't quite sure. There's a fair number of guys that he'll have on base. He'll still get out of a couple of jams like we saw this past weekend against the Tigers there on Sunday. So now that we know that, and if they have a full bullpen like a Lugo, that might be what he does. The next, like, you might save Gesellman for, you know, a night like that where you take him out. I wouldn't have probably done it last night because we just haven't seen him crash and burn that badly. But I do think there would be a time and a moment for him to do it. I don't like the options that he had left, like Bashler, Zamora. Even Santiago, that would have been hard. That would have been hard to bring any of those guys in, I think, after Diaz.
Yeah, I understand, and you're very much in the majority. And again, we certainly respect what you have to say there. It just was so awful to watch, and they were just, you know, now we're we're hearing some the whispers and that the Dodgers knew what he was throwing. and or he was tipping his pitches. I mean, they're a very good hitting team, but what do you think of those kinds of whispers, those kinds of rumors circulating that the Dodgers know what you're throwing?
Well, that's been prevailing thought for the last couple of years, the last 3 years. The numbers home and road this year are there's a pretty good separation. I think it's about 15 points batting average, something along those lines, 17 points. Last year they were better on the road, numbers wise, average wise. A couple of years ago, I remember talking to a Mets scout who thought they had it. It's very difficult nowadays to be able to relay that information because they have monitors in the clubhouses now. They're more and more alert to it. But, you know, I do think there's a couple of things. First off, Diaz's stuff. I mean, you saw it. I mean, his stuff, I mean, we're going to talk about a pregame on SNY. Four or five of those pitches, they were over the plate. He hung the slider three times. I mean, I don't care if – I mean, it's a really good team. The Dodgers have a great offense. You mentioned it. So I give them a little bit more credit. But like when Syndergaard was talking about it, I don't care for the pitch sequencing I see out of Ramos on occasion. I think he's very predictable. You see, you know, three off-speed pitches called in a row. Like, you cannot do that at the major league level, never mind with a good offensive team. So I think it's more – there is something to it, but I also think there's more, just bad game planning by the Mets pitchers and catcher.
Right. Okay. And the Dodgers, yes, they know from hitting. Let me ask you this about Callaway. Do you think, give me your, as much as you can, and we know you work for SNY, we know you're close to members of the team and so forth and so on. So I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I think you'll give me as good an answer as anyone can give in your situation regarding Callaway and whether or not you think this guy, A, manages his bullpen very well, and B, whether he is in over his head as an in-game manager for the New York Mets.
Well, I thought last year that there were moments where he was in over his head. But I also don't think he got a lot of help. You know, I don't think, the way the coaching staff was structured and it's not an affront to Gary DeSarcin or anybody else that was around him. It was just they didn't have a lot of people who understood the National League game and the doubles. I mean, you can't have trouble double switching. You can't have a lineup snafu. You can't, you know, like all the things that we saw last year. Not calling a guy into the game when there was a pinch hitter, the other team would pull their pinch hitter back because he wasn't announced, and then Mickey would say, "Well, that's the way I wanted it." Like there were times last year it was very, very odd, confusing, and I would say sometimes overmatched. But I think he's gotten better this year, and I think a lot of that has to do with Riggleman. But I also think I thought he got better as the season went on last year. So I think he's capable of doing it. Yeah, I think a lot of it's also personnel related, right? If he's not performing, I don't care if you're Casey Stengel, if you're Jim Leland, Bruce Bochy, they're not going to be able to get any more out of the bullpen either if Familia and Gesellman aren't pitching the way they expected. So, you know, some of that I think falls on the roster itself.
And how do you explain the shaky start, the inconsistency so far we have seen from DeGrom and Syndergaard?
Yeah, I wish you know, every time we break down a start from theirs, you know, I'll start with DeGrom. It's been more his location, and you know, last year when we saw him, you know, get out of sync on occasion, he quickly would snap out of it. He'd have the remedy, you know, maybe the next pitch or the next batter or maybe the next inning. I mean, we saw all those in-game, you know, and he's such a good athlete that he could make that adjustment. This year it seems like he's had longer innings like that, more struggles, and more, I think, uncertainty. He wasn't sure what was going on. So I do think his is mostly mechanics related. There's two or three things that he does and that gets them off track. Syndergaard is more on the mental side. I'd say more, you know, I don't know if you probably heard his comments after it, not last night, but two nights ago. He was absolutely lost. He was talking about his mechanics. He just couldn't figure it out. It was probably the, a sports psychologist would have helped him, right? And I think that last night I thought was a little bit better. He still showed a lot of frustration on the mound, but it was better. His stuff was better. He needs a little more guidance and a little bit more creativity behind the plate with a catcher. That's why I think Nito's going to be an interesting guy moving forward. I think Nito's the best catcher, best catch and throw guy, the best game caller. Mm-hmm. And if he can swing the bat a little bit, then maybe they don't have to play Ramos quite as much.
Do you think Syndergaard is too into being Thor, too into being the Viking god, too into who should be getting an extension, who shouldn't be? Do you think maybe he's a little bit on the too distracted a little bit with things that maybe he shouldn't be distracted with?
He does have an opinion about a lot of things, doesn't he?
he does.
Really does. You know, I don't mind. First off, I think, today's player, they're certainly not short on opinions. And, whether that's good or bad, that's just the way things are. But I do think that there is something to be said. If you're going to be that outspoken, you do have to deliver, right?
Sure.
And if you don't deliver, then you're better off, maybe toning down the rhetoric a little bit. So I like the fact that he actually came to Mickey's defense there, a couple weeks ago and cursed on the air and got bleeped out and all that nice stuff. So I think he's passionate about it. But I do think, there have been times where I'd be like, to your point, maybe he shouldn't be quite showing his opinion in that area at this moment, unless you got a 2.5 ERA and you're on your way to a Cy Young Award.
Right. Yeah, and some of us do think that it is refreshing to get that kind of honesty, that kind of candor, aside from the usual spin that everybody does offer before and after games. Lost in the nightmare that was the ninth inning last night, there was so much to feel good about with the Metropolitans last night, and I'll name three, of course. Alonso, yeah. What can you say about this rookie of the year to be Mr. Duquette? And then Dominic Smith in left field, and he is coming through off the bench, and Rosario is finding his offensive game. So lost in the terrible, terrible loss was a lot of positive.
Yeah, there was. I tell you what, and to your point, the lineup is a lot different. It looked a lot different with Dom in there, too, in that two spot. And, I think Alonso just impresses me. I think he has 21 hits this month, and 10 of them are home runs. and I mean, he's got the most, in terms of what I also like is the fact that, he hits 95 mile an hour fastballs or better, and he has the most home runs off of that that type of pitch, fastball 95 or above, than anyone in the game. So it's not just he's feasting on. There was a point where people were like, "Wow, he hits his home runs off the relievers, the seventh inning on." And we're always trying to find the negative, right? Instead of giving the guy credit, this guy's done a lot of pretty impressive things early in the early going, and he might strike out three times in one game, and the next, he'll come out and say, that's not acceptable. The next day, he hits a home run and a double, and everything's forgotten. So he has a unique way of putting yesterday's game behind him. Dom, I can give you probably six left fielders that are worse defenders than Dom, across the game. So I mean, if they're willing, if the Cubs can put Kyle Schwarber, and the Pirates can put Melky Cabrera,
right?
You start going down that road. there's some bad left fielders. If the Cardinals can put Jose Martinez in right field and live with it. Because the bat is impressive. Well, why can't the Mets track Dom Smith there every once in a while? So, sure. As long as he's swinging the bat this well, keep sending them out there.
And again, with McNeil. Now, McNeil, do we have any idea? Jim, do you have any idea when McNeil might be coming back?
He's getting close. I think that he's a perfect example. Okay, I like him in left field, but his value all along was going to be playing different positions.
Yeah.
And he's one guy who can do it, and it's not going to affect his bat. So, play third a game or two, play second a game or two, play left a few games. I think he can get his at-bats in multiple positions, kind of like, Zobrist does with the Cubs, and be really, really good and give guys a day off. play him at second base and give Cano a couple of days, you know, or a day off every, you know, 2 days off a week. So for me, I would, you know, if Dom and Davis are your two better hitters, listen, Davis has had a really better than expected year too, then, you know, give them some opportunity and have, hey, the Dodgers, look at their Dodgers lineup tonight. They got Kike Hernandez was playing the outfield. Now he's playing second. Chris Taylor's played second center, and now he's playing short tonight. Like, they have guys all over the diamond and that are versatile, and I think that's the way to go if the Mets can copy them a little bit.
And a final question, and then we'll let you go, Jim, and can't thank you enough once again for a few moments of your time. Lowry, you think we'll see him in a Metropolitan uniform on the field within our lifetime?
I hope so. I was wondering about him myself. Every day I look, is there anything closer to coming back? And we keep hearing he's not getting closer. And you know, he's had a host of health issues, as we know, but yeah, not last year, but prior. So I just wonder what you're going to get when he comes back. But I do think you're going to see him at some point this year. But the effectiveness, the longer it goes, we don't usually see guys swing the bat well, you know, if you miss a half a season. It's hard to come back anyway, you know, when you're picked up middle of the season like that. So I would question how effective he'll be. Hopefully, he's such a good hitter. I still have high expectations there, but that's been a disappointment so far.
Okay, and real quick, in 25 words or less, and then we do promise to let you go, are the Mets going to make a move for a bullpen type?
You know what? They need one badly. I think they will. I think they've been, I don't think they're going to sign Kimbrel. I've been saying that all along, but I do think they're looking hard at a seventh or eighth inning guy, just another piece to go to, another option. So I would expect that would be a priority for them here in the next couple of weeks.
Have a good Thursday night, Jim.
I think you got it. Anytime.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And stay dry.
You too. See ya.
Okay, Jim Duquette, former GM, of course, and with the SNY.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.